Last week, Rachel and I were absent from Fairland, and I know that Spencer spoke last Sunday and just did a phenomenal job closing out our series on Christ at the center of. And if you weren't here last week, you need to go and listen to it and just catch the wonderful words of wisdom that are found in Scripture in regards to the importance of worship and making sure that Christ is at the center of our worship. I just would encourage you to do that. For those of you that maybe have been coming to Fairland for a while, and you know me, you know that I love Thanksgiving. Like Thanksgiving is probably my favorite holiday that we come across every year. So I always enjoy an opportunity to speak on the subject of gratitude or Thanksgiving or something along those lines. So I've been looking forward to this morning and spending this time encouraging us as a church family, as individuals, to really make sure that Thanksgiving is an intentional decision that we make a part of our lives on a daily basis. Not just this Thursday, obviously, but it's a good reminder for us this Thursday that we have much to be grateful for. So fair warning, a little bit further on in the message, I am going to give an opportunity, and it's going to be a short opportunity, maybe 3 or 4 minutes. For folks that may choose to share something that they are thankful with their church family. So you can be thinking about that and thinking about how to take that long story and make it really short into a sentence or two and share ways that you are, or things that you are thankful for in your life. So that's coming up in a little bit. Came across a story that I thought was kind of a fascinating, interesting story. It's a story that took place in a small town in a bakery, where the bakery decided as they were coming up to Thanksgiving that they wanted to promote gratitude, thankfulness. So they put out a sign, and the sign simply said, tell us one thing that you're thankful for, and you'll be entered in to a raffle for a free pie. So they thought they might get 15 or 20 different things that people are thankful for. To their surprise, they ended up with over 1,500 things that people shared that they were thankful for. The people wrote things like they were thankful for a neighbor who helped them when they were sick. They were thankful that their daughter's laugh is back after a long time of illness. They were thankful for food on the table during a really tough year, for a firefighter who saved somebody's life. The owner said, our shop felt different for days. It felt like gratitude walked in and swept the room clean. That's exactly what gratitude does. It sweeps the room of our hearts. It shifts the atmosphere of our minds. It changes everything. It changes our perspectives in life when we make gratitude a key element to how we live. Today I want to give hopefully a few practical, biblical, and life-shaping reasons why gratitude is critical for everyone that calls themselves a follower of Christ. So if you have a relationship with Jesus, like I feel like this is such an important piece for us as followers of Christ to make sure we are implementing into our daily lives. Let's have a word of prayer and then we're going to get going. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this time together. Lord God, I thank you for our worship team, the beautiful time that they led us in worship through song this morning, focusing our hearts on being grateful and thankful to you, Lord God. Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, may you speak into each one of our lives. There are some folks in this room that are incredibly open and outward with their gratitude, and may this be an encouragement to them, a reminder. May it encourage them to even become stronger at being grateful and thankful. And then there's others in this room, Lord God, where gratitude's a hard thing. And may these words be an encouragement there as well, Lord God. May we all leave here seeing the significance of making sure that this is a characteristic that us as followers of Christ have a part of our lives. In the moments ahead, Lord God, clear our minds. Allow us to hear you speaking into our lives through your holy word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to have you turn with me. We're going to start out in Psalm 100, verse 4. It's going to be page 427 if you're using one of the church Bibles that's found underneath the chair in front of you or one of the chairs in front of you. Psalm 100, verse 4. First thing that we're going to look at this morning is that gratitude repositions our heart towards God. Okay, so number one is gratitude. It repositions our heart towards God. Psalm 100 verse 4 says this, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." So gratitude repositions our hearts towards God. Scripture presents thanksgiving not as a suggestion, but as a pathway for us. The language in Psalm 100, verse 4, is intentional, I believe. To enter means to approach God, to draw near, to step into his presence. But notice the key, thanksgiving opens the door. Gratitude, it realigns our inner world with God's goodness, his sovereignty, God's character. When anxiety fills us, gratitude can redirect us. When entitlement tempts us, gratitude can help humble us. When discouragement overwhelms us, gratitude reminds us of what remains true even when life changes, even when life is full of struggles for us. The human heart left unattended, it drifts towards self-focus. It just does. That is reality. But gratitude, when we make sure that gratitude is a part of our lives, it will draw us Godward naturally. So I'm going to date myself a lot this morning, and that's okay. Some of you also grew up in the 80s, so you will relate to me on this. Some of you had children in the 80s, and so you'll relate with me on this. Some of you didn't even know people lived in the 80s. So we're going to help you understand this a little bit, okay? So in the 80s, I did not get this in my family. Some of my friends had this. We had these beautiful looking cars like this, called a station wagon. And we took just a normal car and we thought, well, how can we make this beautiful car look nicer? Let's put wood paneling on it. So no, back to the car, come on. So we put wood paneling on the car. And we put the nice wire rims on it, and that's what we drove around. In the back of that car, you wouldn't be able to tell this, but you could actually sit in the very back row of that car and face backwards. So when somebody rear-ended you, it was certain death. Like just immediate death on the spot. That's the way we rolled in the 80s. And then we thought, okay, the wood paneling really helped out a lot on the car, so let's just put wood paneling on everything. So we put it in our houses, we put wood paneling on the next slide, on the top of our alarm clocks, right? Like, I had an alarm clock very similar to this that sat, you're wondering what alarm clocks are. We didn't have cell phones with alarms on them, right? Okay? So we had this thing, you had to plug it in, and it sat next to your bed, and its only purpose in life usually was just to wake you up in the morning. But then this was a fancy one here. And it was fancy because on this right-hand side, right? It has a radio tuner. So we could get both FM and AM channels with this thing. And on the one that I had, you could turn it on and just listen to music, like without even having the alarm clock go off or anything. So you could use it as a radio in your bedroom, which is fantastic. Or you could wake up to music in the morning. So you would tune into your favorite radio station the night before. And then the next morning at 7 o'clock, your radio station would just turn on for you. Like, this was breaking technology for us in the 80s, right? So I tried to find one of these for this week. I posted on Facebook, and I got something similar. It doesn't have the wood paneling on the front, which I really wanted because that would have taken me back. I looked online, and you can buy one with the wood paneling for like 100 and some bucks. So, you know, but this is the radios, the clock radios, that we used to have as kids growing up. So it played this beautiful music. You got to tune it. So you got to use this little slider thing right there, and you got to go real slow on it. And that red line, the red line on the front of it will just kind of move back and forth, and you got to keep moving it until you get it to just the right spot. Hey, there we go. We got it. But if it's off just a little bit, all you get is the static, right? So, like, it's so important to be able to tune that in. And I'm going to suggest that the gratitude, it clears the spiritual static, right? So that we can hear God more clearly. It's like just fine-tuning that radio so we actually get what we want out of the radio. We don't want the static in the radio. What we want is we want the music coming through the radio. When we practice gratitude in our lives, we fine-tune our hearts towards God, and the adjustment, it becomes the foundation for what gratitude does next in our lives. Gratitude strengthens our faith during trials. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to go to verse 16 through 18. It's going to be page 837. So in Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." What wonderful, wonderful words, right? And here's just a little bonus this morning. If you haven't begun memorizing Scripture, this is a really good one to memorize for two reasons. So short, right? You can do verse 16 today. Rejoice always. You've got it. You just memorized your first verse, maybe. Rejoice always. And then you can do a second verse. Pray continually. So simple. And then give thanks in all circumstances. Like that's three verses, right? And such an important message for us as followers of Jesus. Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This passage, it almost commands the impossible when we think about it, unless we see what God is doing. Gratitude in all circumstances. It means that my pain does not remove God's promises. Right? When I am going through, when I feel like I am suffering, when I feel like everything's going the wrong way for me, that does not remove God's promises in my life. My uncertainties, when I feel like I just don't know what's going on in life anymore, it does not cancel out God's sovereignty. He is still in control, even though I may not feel it. Gratitude in all circumstances means my suffering does not diminish God's love. There are some people that follow Jesus Christ that go through an incredible amount of suffering. Incredible. And it does not diminish God's love. I want to be clear on this. Paul isn't telling us to pretend that life is easy. He's teaching us how to keep our faith intact when life is hard. Gratitude, I think, is faith's anchor. It's the spiritual practice that keeps us tethered to truth when feelings try to drag us away. When we thank God in the middle of hardship, in the middle of pain, in the middle of what we would consider suffering, uncertainty, when we thank God in the middle of all that, we are declaring in those moments, right? We're declaring, God, I trust you even when I don't understand you. And that's a big thing to declare. Harvard Medical School reports that intentionally practicing gratitude reduces stress, increases resilience, and can lower symptoms of depression by up to 30%. See, God built our brains in such a way that thanksgiving literally strengthens our emotional endurance. And the next story, I've shared this story. I don't apologize for sharing it again today because I love this story. I think it just is such a powerful story, right? It's a story of Corrie Ten Boom. When in prison in a concentration camp, she thanked God. Remember what she thanked God for those of you who have heard this story before? For the fleas in her barracks, right? I'm almost 100% sure that she didn't feel thankful, but she chose to be thankful. And then the best part of the story, in my opinion, is later she discovered that the fleas were what was keeping the guards away and allowing them as women to hold a Bible study without interruption because the guards didn't want anything to do with the fleas. What we need to understand this morning is that gratitude does not mean everything is good. It means we trust that God can bring good out of everything. Gratitude strengthens our faith during trials, but it also opens our eyes in everyday life. And that really leads us to the third point this morning. Gratitude, when done regularly in our lives, when made a priority in our lives, helps us to see God's provision more clearly. So turn to James chapter 1. It's going to be page 854. James chapter 1. And we're just going to read verse 17. James 1, verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. This is one of those verses that can change everything in our lives. James is saying, if it's truly good, God gave it. No luck. Not coincidence. Not the universe. It comes from our Creator. It comes from God Himself. Every good conversation from God. Every good meal from God. Every good friend that is brought into our lives from God. Every good job opportunity from God. Every good open door that comes into our lives from God. Every good moment of peace that we experience in life from God. The very breath that we have from God. Gratitude is what allows us to trace the fingerprints of God in our everyday lives. Without gratitude, we develop spiritual blindness.
We don't see the good things that he brings into our lives. But with gratitude, we develop spiritual clarity. Gratitude teaches us to interpret life through the lens of God's goodness and not through the lens of our frustrations. A University of Chicago study found that people who write down three things that they are grateful for each day became far more aware of the small blessings that they normally ignored. Anybody in here in the habit of doing that at times? So I often will encourage people when they're going through a hard time, and I do this myself, especially, I don't always do it, like, I don't do it 365 days a year. I probably should, but I don't. But especially if I'm struggling, right, if I'm having a hard time, if I just need to refocus on God's goodness, I myself, and I encourage other people to do exactly that. Like, just take out your phone, open up a note, and start writing down three or four things every single day that you see that is good, that God has done, that God is doing. Gratitude trains our spiritual eyesight. If a photographer is taking a picture, right? They pull their camera out of their bag, they take their camera, and they aim it towards whatever it is that they're taking the picture of. Typically, when they look through that lens at first, what do they see? Blur, right? Because they haven't focused anything. They just pulled it out of the bag. So what do they have to do? They have to change the lens around a little bit and sharpen up the picture. Gratitude is the lens that sharpens our awareness of God's provision. The provisions are there, right? Like when the photographer goes to take the picture, the scene is already there. But we just need to become more aware of it by sharpening it, by making it more clear. And gratitude helps us see God's provisions more clearly. But it does even more than that. Ultimately, gratitude helps us into the image, helps us fall into the image of the one that we follow, the one that leads us, the one that we devote our lives to. Gratitude makes us more like Jesus. Now, this is an unusual verse, probably, as we talk about gratitude, but such an appropriate verse. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. So if you're turning there, it's page 746. 746, Luke chapter 22, verse 19. So here's the setting. This is near the end of Jesus' life. This is at the Last Supper. So Jesus is sitting with his disciples. They're having a meal together, and they're getting ready to do what we call communion together. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, Jesus says, the scripture says, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And that's where I want us to just pause, right? So the Last Supper happened before Jesus was betrayed. The Last Supper happened before Jesus went through an incredible amount of suffering. The Last Supper happened before Jesus was tortured. The Last Supper happened before Jesus was put on the cross and died in our place. And it says, the Last Supper, Jesus, knowing all that was to come, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. It says Jesus gave thanks, knowing the betrayal, knowing the suffering, knowing the torture, knowing the cross that was to come. Jesus gave thanks. This is gratitude at its highest form. Like, how many of us, if we're being honest, if we know tomorrow that everything's going to fall apart from our perspective, we're going to go to work tomorrow, we're going to lose our job. We're going to come home from losing our job, and one of our kids is going to be sick and ill and in the hospital for weeks, months, years. Like, everything is just falling apart. How many of us, knowing that ahead of time, that tomorrow everything's falling apart, are honestly going to today sit and give thanks? Some of us maybe struggle a little bit with doing that. This is gratitude in its highest form, thanksgiving rooted in trust, not circumstances. Right? Jesus had complete trust in his Father and his Father's plan for his life. When Jesus gave thanks, he modeled a posture of surrender, of dependence, of obedience, of commitment, and of peace. Gratitude shapes our character to be more like Jesus. When we are grateful people, when that is what we look to become, when that is what we look to observe and make note of, is things that we are grateful for and thankful for. When we are grateful people, we will complain less and worship more. We will see people as blessings, not as burdens. We will choose joy over pessimism. We will give freely because we trust God's supply. We will forgive easily because we remember God's mercy in our own lives. Gratitude softens what bitterness tries to harden. Gratitude makes us more like Jesus. And that really is the ultimate goal of the Christian life. Is that each day we become a little bit more Christ-like in how we live our lives. So, we're going to pause for a few minutes. And I love to hear what people are thankful for. And I'm trusting, I didn't set anybody up ahead of time. I normally like say, hey, can a couple of you guys do this? Get the ball rolling. I didn't do that. So if you're thinking about doing it, just be the first person to do it and you'll get the ball rolling for us today. But let's share with our church family just a few things. Let's take a couple minutes. We can watch the time on here to make sure we're not going beyond a couple minutes. But let's just take a couple minutes and share. I will have you stand if you could, because Trey is going to run a microphone just so everybody can hear. We want to be able to hear what you have to say. As the first person is getting ready, right at the back, very back row. Head on back there. Well, there's people online that want to hear too, Kim, so. Praise the Lord.
I'm thankful for good health and a wonderful church family here at Fairland. Amen.
Get Cindy up front here.
I could go on and on, but I won't. I'm so thankful that we listened to the Holy Spirit 40 years ago when prompted us to attend Fairland. We are so thankful for our church family, and they are family to us. And as we're aging, we're appreciating that even more as we're here for one another. And I'm just so thankful for all of you. So this week was a really big week for me. I've been working on a house, remodeling it for me and my kids. and I moved to Esther. I'm so thankful for all the people who helped me and all the things that I've learned and how God prepared me for this exact moment.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for the children in our children's department,
yeah,
who encourage me every day, sharing the love of Jesus, and for the teenagers who help me with those kids. And those children look up to those teenagers every day. Thank you.
Amen. All right, one or two more?
I think as a whole family, we're just so grateful for this entire church and how many opportunities there are to really serve our community. And the fellowship that we feel here has added so much depth and rootedness for our entire family and really in our faith.
Awesome. One more. Right up front.
I'm so thankful to be able to have a church family as well as a youth family. Getting to know everyone so much more makes me miss youth group and going to miss youth group as it's my final year. So I'm going to miss all you guys.
And I'm going to guess we could go on and on. Thank you for sharing. It's encouraging to hear what you're thankful for. And it helps us to think in our own lives of things that we are thankful for as well. So I appreciate your willingness to share this morning. I'm going to take another 5 minutes, and you'll forgive me for it. Thank you. I say 5 minutes, we're going to unplug this. We don't need anybody timing me. This is the most important thing I'm going to say today. So, like, put your cell phones down. Quit thinking about lunch plans. Let's just give God this moment. The greatest reason that we practice gratitude, the greatest reason that we celebrate Thanksgiving, the greatest reason we gather as a church, right, and do what we're doing this morning, is because of the greatest gift that was ever given to us. That's Jesus. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to rescue me, to rescue you from sin, and to give us eternal life and a better way of living this life. Scripture is really honest about our condition prior to Christ, right? In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Every single one of us, we're rephrasing it, has blown it, right? None of us can save ourselves. But then Scripture is also really great in sharing with us hope and the promise. And it says in Romans 6:23, just a couple chapters beyond, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Those two words, wages and gift, very different words, right? Like, wages is something that you earn. A gift is something that is given freely. So it means that we can't earn our salvation. We can't work our way into heaven. We can't clean ourselves up enough for God. But Jesus can, and Jesus did, as a gift, offer us that. Jesus lived the perfect life, and you and I know that we can't do that. We haven't done that. We can't do that. He died the death on the cross that I should. That's the wage that I earned. And now Jesus offers eternal life. He offers forgiveness. He offers a new way, a new beginning to each and every person, not as a reward, but as a gift. This is the way Scripture calls salvation. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, an indescribable gift. Indescribable.
Receiving Jesus, having a personal relationship with Jesus, it means that you admit that you are a sinner, right? That you, along with everybody else that sits in this room, has fallen short of the glory of God, that we need forgiveness in our lives. Receiving Jesus means that you believe that he died and rose again on the cross for you. It means that you confess to him that he is Lord and will be Savior of your life. You surrender control. That's a hard one for us. As we make Jesus Lord of our life, we surrender control and we trust him fully moving forward. Giving our lives to Christ isn't about joining a church. It's not about becoming more religious. It's not. It's not about promising to be perfect, because you won't. You will fail at that if that's what you're trying to do. It's about entering into a relationship with the God who created you, the God who loves you, and the God who wants the absolute best for you. Perhaps you're here today and you feel far from God. Perhaps today you've walked away from him and you've been away from him for months or years or decades, but for whatever reason you're here today. Perhaps today you feel unworthy. Maybe you've never had a relationship with Jesus and you feel in your heart, I can't have a relationship with him because I'm not worthy to have a relationship with him. Perhaps you feel like you've messed up so badly there's no way that he can forgive you. It's just not true. The truth is, and this is the greatest thing that we can be thankful for today and every day. The truth is that you are not too far gone. You are not too broken. You are not too messed up. You are not disqualified in any way, shape, or form from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You are loved. That is the truth. You are wanted, and you are invited by Jesus to have a relationship with him. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, that whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. The word whoever Jesus uses there includes every single one of us. So today, Sunday before Thanksgiving, I want to give the opportunity to receive the greatest gift that you can possibly receive, a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want you to go ahead and bow your heads. And if something is stirring inside you this morning, if you feel something nudging you, perhaps that's the Holy Spirit. If you know in your heart that today is your day, don't ignore that. Respond to that nudging. Respond to that stirring. Respond to the Holy Spirit. And I encourage you just to pray along with me a really simple prayer. There's nothing magical about these words. What matters is the sincerity of your heart. If today, if you want to receive Christ and walk into that relationship with him, if you want to be forgiven, if you want to know him personally and start fresh, I encourage you just to pray in your heart along with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today just as I am. I confess that I have sinned and cannot save myself. I believe that you died for my sins and rose again so that I could have life. Today I turn from my old ways and I turn towards you, Jesus. I surrender my life completely into your hands. Forgive me, cleanse me, make me new, Lord God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me follow you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for loving me. From this moment forward, I am yours, Lord God. Just keep your heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer today, and if you meant it, I want you to know something powerful. You are
forgiven. You are redeemed. You are a new creation in Christ. Your past no longer defines you. Heaven is your home and God is your Father. If you prayed that prayer, I would love to know so I can be praying for you in the days, the weeks, the months ahead. So if you prayed that prayer and you don't mind, if you would just make eye contact with me, just lift your head, make eye contact. I see that. I see that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the family of God. Lord God, we thank you for how you work. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your faithfulness in our lives. Lord God, we are so grateful that you chose to send your Son into this world to be our Savior, to be our guide, to be our King. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.